This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 22nd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Artificial intelligence is often seen as the technology of the future. Many companies and entrepreneurs are racing to implement new applications of the emerging tech. As of yet, there are very few regulations around AI, but a new proposal in Europe could change that. Yesterday, the European Union's executive arm put forward one of the world's first proposed laws to regulate AI technologies. Our tech reporter Parmi Olsen will explain what's being proposed and how it could influence regulation elsewhere after these headlines. Researchers have uncovered an advertising scam targeting streaming businesses. The cybersecurity company Human Security said that fraudsters infected nearly a million mobile devices with software that mimicked streaming TV apps and collected revenue from unsuspecting advertisers. They spoofed an average of 650 million ad placement opportunities per day in online ad exchanges, stealing ad dollars meant for streaming apps. We asked our reporter Patience Hagen what this tells us about the vulnerabilities in this growing corner of the ad market.
It shows where ad fraudsters are moving next. You know, ad fraudsters are moving away from desktop and mobile ads. They're moving to streaming TV ads because that's where ad prices are higher, so they can steal a lot more money. And that's where defenses against ad fraud schemes are a lot lower.
The researchers at Human Security described the operation as sophisticated, but said it could be stymied if digital ad players followed industry guidelines and implemented certain security measures. The Justice Department has formed a task force to combat ransomware attacks. That's the type of cyber attack in which hackers cripple a software system until they receive a ransom. Security experts and U.S. officials say this type of attack became much more common during the pandemic. According to an internal memo, the DOJ's ransomware task force will increase training and dedicate more resources to the issue, seek to improve intelligence sharing across the department, and work to identify links between criminal actors and nation states. And Tesla issued a public apology and pledged to set up a customer satisfaction unit in China after widespread outcry over its handling of consumer complaints there. The action comes after an aggrieved customer's protest at the Auto Shanghai Expo this week sparked an online backlash, and after a high-level government commission accused Tesla of endangering Chinese consumers by selling defective products. In its apology, Tesla said it obeys government departments' decisions, respects consumers, and actively cooperates with all investigations. All right, coming up after the break, lawmakers in Europe are considering some of the world's first regulation of artificial intelligence and facial recognition systems. We'll break down what's being proposed next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The European Union's executive arm put forward a bill yesterday that would place curbs on artificial intelligence and facial recognition. These emerging technologies are subject to very few regulations at the moment, and the EU's proposal could set a precedent for the rest of the world. So for more on what's in it and the debate it's sparking, I'm joined by our tech reporter Parmi Olsen. Hey, Parmi, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Okay, so first things first, what's in this bill?
Yeah, so the bill is actually pretty broad in terms of what it covers, but as far as who is actually affected, it's pretty narrow in scope from what we can tell initially. The EU is basically saying that most types of artificial intelligence systems that are being used today are basically fine, like the kinds that are used to help recommend a movie on Netflix or recommend songs or that power a news feed in social media. What they're concerned about with these rules are what they call high-risk artificial intelligence systems. So those are things like AI that uses what they call subliminal techniques to take advantage of people that could harm them physically or psychologically. They also brought up live facial recognition when it's used by the police as a kind of dragnet in public places. That's something they also want to crack down on. Social scoring algorithms, like the kind used by the Chinese government, are also completely prohibited under these rules. And then there's a lower kind of level of risky AI, but not that isn't completely banned, but will face extra scrutiny and some forms of restrictions.
Specifically, who would this bill apply to?
That's a great question. I think initially, in terms of the high-risk AI, we're talking about AI providers. That's a term that the politicians used yesterday when they were announcing this. And AI providers would be companies that actually build these algorithms. So if a company builds algorithms that create deep fakes, which are videos that put a person's face on another person's body, and then they actually, people are sharing those videos on Facebook, I think it's kind of still unclear if it's Facebook that's liable or if it's actually the company that made the deep fakes that's liable. And it sounds actually more like it would be the company that makes the software that would be liable under these new rules. So it would be firms like that. It would be potentially advertising agencies that use algorithms that help to target people with certain ads, like personalized ads. It would certainly be facial recognition vendors, any kind of company that builds biometric systems, because that's definitely come under one of the high-risk areas that the EU is looking at. And social scoring, you know, when they talk about that with China, it's something that isn't really in use right now in the West, but any companies that are using algorithms to help choose someone to hire or decide if someone is creditworthy, is deserving of a loan. Those kinds of companies building that technology would definitely have to be aware of these rules and start preparing to show their code to regulators and also design their code in such a way that is going to keep the regulators happy.
Got it. So what are the proponents of this bill hoping it'll do?
The goal is essentially to protect citizens of the European Union. That was something that politicians yesterday brought up when they were talking about this, that, for example, they wanted to tackle things like these social scoring algorithms like the ones used in China, because that goes against what they call fundamental values. And they also want to protect people who maybe have disabilities or vulnerable people for whom artificial intelligence systems might try to manipulate their behavior in some way. So really, overall, the goal of these rules is to protect people from harm for the most part.
And are there opponents? What are their concerns?
So there has already been quite a bit of debate about these rules. Even though they only came out yesterday, they actually were leaked the week before. So digital rights activists and technologists were able to read through an early draft of the proposals. And there's a lot of debate going back and forth on social media about these rules. And one big criticism was that they were just too vague in some ways, meaning that there was the possibility of a lot of loopholes. So, for example, one of the things that are banned in the rules is live facial recognition by police. So you can't use cameras to scan large crowds of people to pick out certain faces. But there are exceptions to that. So if police want to stop an imminent terrorist threat or find abducted children, then they can use this facial recognition. They can also use it if they want to locate suspects of murder or potentially fraud. You know, when you think about fraud, I think how you define that will be a potential gray area that police probably will want to prod in terms of how much they can use this technology on the streets. And some of the digital rights activists have noted, you know, those are actually quite a lot of big exceptions. It almost defeats the purpose of calling this a ban. So things like that are where the EU has come under quite a bit of criticism.
What's the reaction been like in the tech industry?
I think industry so far, in a surprising way, has actually, to some extent, welcomed the proposals. I think they knew that this was coming. AI is already such an important part of the technology we use every day, and it's only going to increase. And I think the fact that the EU took what they call a risk-based approach, where they're really only targeting the AI systems that could hurt people, I think that's been welcomed by the industry so far. And a lot of companies, I think, are wary of putting out too many opinions on this kind of thing right now, because it's going to take years for these kinds of rules to actually become law. So it's a bit risky for them to come out and say, yes or no, they don't like them. The typical response is, we welcome regulation, we think this is good for consumers, but then they're very much sitting back to wait and see what actually comes down the pipe.
Yeah. And on that note, what is next for this proposal? What happens next?
Right. So typically, these kinds of proposals can take years before they become law. And it could even change quite a bit along the way. It has to be approved by the European Council. And then it has to be approved by members of the European Parliament, who are all elected by the different citizens in the member states. So something like GDPR took quite a few years between when it was proposed and then when it became law just recently. And I imagine we'll see that same, a similar kind of timeline for these proposals.
Right. And you referenced GDPR. That's the General Data Protection Regulation, which is the bloc's landmark privacy law. And, you know, with GDPR and with other measures, the European Union has been a leader in tech regulation. What could the impact of this bill be if passed?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, GDPR set a precedent in a lot of ways for other countries to follow. It's been like a template that even some states in the U.S. have followed. And you could imagine that, you know, a really robust framework of regulations from the EU, if it's welcomed by other countries, you could imagine a very similar situation panning out where other countries adopt similar laws or states in the U.S. adopt similar laws, and they pretty much just ride on the coattails of what the EU is pioneering here.
All right. That's our tech reporter, Parmi Olsen. Thanks, Parmi.
All right. Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.